Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. Thanks for being here this morning. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Beau Morgan, Dylan behind the glass, and this hour's bit is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We're going to be talking Falcons, Colts in just a moment, but here are your headlines before you head out. The Hawks beat the Magic at home last night, 127-112. They'll play the Raptors on Friday in Atlanta. The first round of college football playoff rankings were released last night. Georgia came in at 5. Ohio State is number 1. The Jets made a bunch of moves yesterday before the trade deadline. We'll get into all of these when we go in the huddle at 7:20, but the one that matters to us is Sauce Gardner is heading to the Colts. And the Falcons have signed O-line man Andrew Stuber to the active roster, long snapper Zach Treiner to the practice squad. Parker Romo and Ben Salas have been released, and they have not officially confirmed the signing of kicker Zane Gonzalez quite yet, but we all pretty much know that is happening. So the Falcons head to Germany this week to take on the Colts. We're talking about the matchups between the Colts offense, our defense. What kind of has you raising an eyebrow as we head over to Germany this week, guys?
Dude, I'm trying not to fanboy on these offensive linemen. I really am. I'm doing my best. Quentin Nelson, the more I watch tape and the more I dive into it, he is an absolute Jesse. Like, I mean, an absolute Jesse in the run game. I don't know that we have an answer for him, and it's concerning. We haven't had an answer for the last three offensive lines we've played. All right, utilizing tight ends and fullbacks and doing all this big boy stuff. I mentioned it yesterday in the Good, Bad, and the Ugly. We have trouble playing off of blocks from offensive linemen. And he's the best run-blocking offensive lineman in the game. I'm just telling you, just watching him and the grips, the vice grips he has, put hands on players, it's exceptional. So if you're a Rook or one of these guys that has kind of struggled playing off of blocks and filling gaps, buddy, buckle up. And if I am Jeff Ulbrich and I'm watching this, there's a great amount of concern. I don't know how you go about it. Do you simply try to go left and right? That hasn't worked. Or do you put just a blockade in front of him like a Sam Roberts and just say, dude, just don't get driven back? But either way, man, they're gonna have their work cut out for him because he's good, and Bortolini, the center, who is a lot less heralded, very good as well.
I think that David Onyemata has been your best interior run guy. Would you agree with that?
He's been up there. I would say Lakeil London has been pretty dang good.
Yeah. The problem with me with Lakeil, and I love Lakeil. Lakeil just has missed a couple of games. And sure. I would just tell David Onyemata, hey, man, just occupy that guy. Occupy that guy and don't allow him to release to another level. Don't allow him to push you out of the way. Like, you know, we're paying you. Go be that guy this week.
Yeah.
And I just wonder how much more run Ronnie Harrison gets. We saw it amped up last week. Is it continue to notch up this week against a team like it? Dude, the thing that you look on in this team is if I said 3 weeks ago, or it was 2 weeks ago, I said, hey, Colts, what do you think they're the best at? Don't look at your chart. What do you think they're the best? Not, I'm just saying, then, like, what do you think they're the best at? And you would probably say, I would say, yeah, they're going to run it down your throat.
For sure.
But they're actually a better team through the air right now. They're the top passing attack in the NFL.
And they were not very good last week in the run game against Pittsburgh. Now we don't have the players that Pittsburgh has up front.
No, but
yes,
they're so
the
active.
Point is taken.
But they're active. No, here's the thing that makes me have a little bit. I think you would agree with me. Pittsburgh is bigger up front than you are.
Oh, most certainly, yeah.
But the way they play is similar to the Ulbrich style, very attacking up front defense. And that's the one thing that we do have. I wonder if that – I'm not saying it is a game changer because we know the way to exploit our defense is run right up the middle. But they bowed up late last week against another big offensive line that had been pretty good in the run game.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see how we go about it. And the way that our defense has structurally tried to create itself over the course of the season is that you're not going to run off guard, essentially – in the B gaps. You're not going to run in the A gaps or the B gaps. And they've plugged it up. We've used nose guard. We've used these 3-4 formations where you have two B gap players and a nose guard. And essentially what they've said is like, hey, you're not going to run in there. We're going to allow our linebackers to kind of run free and make plays off tackle. But you've been so bad at taking on the blocks from the exterior blockers, the tackle tight end combos, the tight end fullback, the two tight end combos, you've been so bad at that. And then also at the same time, you're getting hit from the outside in, and these teams are utilizing these pin and pull toss plays that it really hasn't mattered. And then when they do run inside and you try to spread them out, you try to go where I'm going to cover the tackles, leave the B gaps open a little bit, we're not getting off blocks. And so it's just Jeff Ulbrich's going to have to play a risky game. And he's going to have to take gambles up front with some of his players, spiking left, spiking right, run game, twist stunts, things like that. And a couple of times, Indianapolis is going to get you because their players up front are better than what you have. And you have to hope that you can get them off balance, and you can hope that you can keep them off schedule and then have some well-timed blitzes and pass rushes to be able to get home.
And they're a team that scores 30-plus points a game, Allie. So you've got it, and you've held teams to 22. You've got to hold teams your average, and you got to hope that you can score.
Well, and the Colts, they are ranked sixth in the NFL when it comes to third down conversions. It kind of falls under the umbrella of what you've been talking about. But how did Jeff and the Falcons defense like kind of prepare for that?
Yeah, it does. I just had that image of Semi-Pro, the movie, where he's yelling a safe word. Spumoni! Like, that's what you need. You need a safe word when Quentin Nelson is coming at you on the defensive line. If I'm Rucarora, Spumoni! How many times do I have to say Spumoni? Like, somebody help me over here. And look, I would just tell you, if we can get in third and five plus, that's going to be our best possible scenario. But with the way we fared in the run game, and I'll go back all the way to the third quarter against Buffalo just a few weeks ago, couldn't stop Christian McCaffrey. You know, you just haven't fared well in terms of what you've been asked to do, even in the wins. It's a bad matchup, man. They are a really good running team. And I know that we drafted to build for third down and long. We didn't replace Grady Jarrett and Eddie Goldman. We went and got edge rushers, but we're not stopping the run. And it's been a problem all the way dating back to last year. It wasn't just the Jimmy Lake problem. There's a personnel issue. Jeff Ulbrich did a nice job of penetrating style defense, moving side to side, creating havoc. But man, when it comes down to it, and if they time it up right, we're going to have a really hard problem on first and second down being able to stop them from gaining 5, 6, 7, 8 yards. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I didn't think that we I didn't think we stopped the run with those guys very much.
We didn't.
So I think you're better off. Believe it or not, I'm okay with not having Grady Jarrett and Eddie Goldman here anymore. I would have, if I had to choose between the two, it'd probably be surprising which one I would have chose to keep.
I would be right there. I'd have kept Goldman.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what Grady Jarrett's numbers are, but in Chicago, they're playing okay. But Dorless has been very good. I feel like Brandon Dorless to me is the guy that replaced Grady Jarrett in a lot of ways, because Grady would kind of move a little bit around. He's very active. He's knifes through. Brandon Dorless has been great. Brandon Dorless is in 10 games. He's got 3.5 sacks already. And he was – this is essentially – he was redshirted last year, and he stepped up. Yeah, your run defense has suffered, and it's really suffered with Divine Diablo. Arch was talking about this the other day with Carl Dukes and Zeno yesterday, and he was like, I don't think anyone knew – this is Arch, you know, Arch said, I don't think anyone knew the impact of Divine Diablo's signing. And he goes, take it a step further, I don't think anyone – in that building other than Jeff Ulbrich knew what Divine Diablo could do. He is irreplaceable. If you told me in March, after the first week of free agency or the first couple of days where they signed Divine Diablo, that we would be talking about losing a player who was irreplaceable, and then you said it was Divine Diablo, I'd tell you you're crazy as hell.
I agree. And this goes back to another conversation that we have to have continuing throughout the week. Who did I – last year when we had Grady Jarrett and Eddie Goldman, who used to tell you is the best run defender we have?
You told me Eddie Goldman.
Well, and Eddie Goldman, he's just that guy that you're not going to move. He's a tree
stump. He's a plugger.
And but behind that, I last year I spent a lot of time raving about Zach Harrison. The length that he had, his ability to kind of hold the point. He's a guy we haven't had the last couple of weeks either, and we need him back in the worst way.
Getting Zach Harrison back is such a big deal. I'm so glad you brought that up. You're so right on that. And especially
record that, Dylan. Record that.
Here's the deal for me. You get Laquell and Sam Roberts, Laquell London, and have to be active. And if Zach Harrison and even Zach Harrison's presence being back, I think those two guys have to be active because they've, to me, TQ Graham is now, unfortunately, I love the dude to death, but he's kind of found himself on the outside looking in.
We'll continue to talk about this. And quick reminder, this Saturday from noon till 2, I'm going to be out at Carriage Kia in Woodstock as we get ready for Sunday's big game. Someone's going to walk away with that ultimate tailgate kit. It's a 50-inch 4K smart TV. And then someone else is going to take home tickets to an upcoming home game. It is Saturday, noon to 2 at Carriage Kia in Woodstock. Also, we've got AC/DC tickets that we are handing out later on in the show. But coming up next, Jets traded off many, many players yesterday. We will get into that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep. It is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, about to go in the huddle, but a reminder that we've got Which One Wednesday. It's 7:40 today. We're getting your opinion on it via Twitter. First votes. Guys, pretty staggered on this, actually. I don't know if you've looked at it. Will Freddie Freeman go into the Hall as a Dodger or a Brave?
I can't wait to answer this question. I've got it. I know it, and I'm close to making it.
Okay.
I wish everybody just could have seen the hand movement we got from Bo right there.
He talks about your wave all the time. That was equally as strange. I think that I'm like combing back through my mind of other players. Mm-hmm. Greg Maddux is one that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Wade Boggs is one that comes to mind. There's just a bunch of in there that are interesting caveats. So
just
we'll
ask
have that conversation.
Me first.
Yeah. Love that conversation.
It's an interesting conversation. Again, that's at 7:40. Jump on Twitter right now at 929 Morning Shift and get your vote in before we do that. All right, let's go in the huddle. Yesterday's trade deadline has come and gone, and the Jets traded multiple players. Let's start with the Colts acquiring cornerback Sauce Gardner from the Jets for a 2026 first round pick.
Yeah, that's going to work out for him. And look, I know there's ups and downs about who he is, but they've had injury issues at that position. He is a solid player, and he's gonna fit in just fine. Like when you can go into man coverage and be locked down in man coverage. Not that he's like the top of the list, but he's very good. He's very good player. You can fit in any defense when you can do that, and I'm sure that that's exactly what Indianapolis felt. They also like Indianapolis's windows open. Right, their window's open. Is that fair enough to say?
Yeah.
They are built from the inside out.
Yeah.
And they can do things so differently than a lot of other teams.
He's the kind of player that, you know, can be really good when you have such a good D-line like they do, like the Jets did. I don't think he's worth two first-round picks. I'm sorry. Like, my thought process and the way I've watched football since I've been in this business has completely changed. And years ago, I'd have been like, yeah, two first-round picks. I would have given up more for Quinnen Williams than Sauce Gardner.
Dude, he's a pretty good player, too.
Like, I would have given up more for Quinnen Williams. And that, if I'd have told, if I'd have gone back and got an argument with myself at a college party when we were arguing about Michael Vick back in the day and throwing back
cold
bears.
You gotta go for it, dude. You gotta go for it.
I would have been like, Sauce Gardner. Yeah, you guys are stud. Who's that? Quinnen Williams. Who cares about that guy? Nobody cares about defensive linemen. Completely flipped. I would have given more for Quinnen Williams. I'd have killed to have Quinnen Williams here.
Well, the Cowboys did trade for Quinnen Williams.
That's right.
For two picks.
Sorry, I didn't mean to jump the gun on you there.
Do you have the picks in front of you? I know they were interesting. I can't remember exactly which picks they were, and I think there was another player involved.
2026 second round pick and a 2027 first round pick.
Okay, there you go.
Let me tell you something. That's a lot. I told you. And Mazi Smith.
Yeah, Mazi Smith. That is a lot, but I'd probably give that up.
For Quinnen Williams? Yeah.
If I'm in Dallas's shoes, yes. I have paid my quarterback. I have paid my receiver. I found a George Pickens. Like,
he's paying he paid all these people. He just didn't want to pay Micah.
I was going to say, you didn't pay Micah. You picked up the extra pick. I'm doing it. If I had the situation that Jerry had, I'm doing that.
Jerry's made more comments now about Micah's leadership. Do you think Micah was liked in that locker room?
Hard to tell.
Because it doesn't feel like it.
I don't think it's cut and dry. I was around players like this. I was around multiple players. It's like some guys are just not your cup of tea, but are good players, and like on the field, you're going to look at them and be like, oh, man, what a great play. I like that guy. Maybe you just don't hang out with him otherwise and don't want to be around him otherwise. It doesn't – it's hard to say cut and dry. They didn't like him or they loved him.
Why does it feel like the only guy that seems like he liked him was Trayvon Diggs? Because that's the only player that I can recall that came out in support of him during the whole thing and the only player that really said anything positive about him since.
I'm trying to think of another guy that I played with in Atlanta that would have fit that role. I'm coming up empty because I pretty much liked almost all my teammates. But, yeah, I mean, there's just certain players you look at and go, yeah, not my cup of tea, man. Hmm. It is what it is, though. There's a lot of football players in locker rooms. It's not like an NBA locker room where you all kind of have to kumbaya. You can literally just go to your end. You don't even have to see those guys if you don't want to. And I'd like Micah Parsons on my team. I'll say that. But, you know, I don't know that necessarily he was loved. We'll see what happens.
Seahawks traded for the Saints Rashid Shaheed. They traded 2026 fourth and fifth round picks.
Team Bo Johnson, the team that the fantasy team that we co-own, is proud owners of Rashid Shaheed. And so I'm kind of digging into this going, is this good or bad? Because he's obviously down the depth chart in Seattle in terms of wide receivers. When you look at Jackson, Smith, and Jigma, who has been really, really good. They also have Cooper Kupp. Haven't heard much from Cooper Kupp. And then you look at Rashid Shaheed, it's like, okay, be a number three option. He was kind of that in a way in New Orleans, but I think the volume is going to be less for Rashid Shaheed in Seattle, but the opportunity to actually score touchdowns will be more. So I think it's a good move by Seattle. I think they have a good team, and I think they're really close to getting to the next level. I think they feel like they have all the right pieces in place. I would love somebody who has the short area burst the way Rashid Shaheed does on our Falcons team. And so I don't mind them making this move.
It kind of feels like he's going to have one or two games where he just goes completely off, and the rest of them, it's like two catches, 25 yards. This is kind of the feel because of what they already have and the way they want to play.
It's just the word acceleration. Acceleration. We don't have acceleration for the Atlanta Falcons. That's a guy that has acceleration. Mm-hmm. Acceleration's hard to come by. It really is. Look at the Jaylen Warrens of the world. Some of the guys, they can just catch a ball, accelerate, boom, get you an extra 10 yards. We don't really have those people. You know what I mean? Even when Kyle Pitts catches the comebacks, he takes him like, you know, two or three steps to kind of get turned around and go in the right direction.
I think, to me, Darnell is probably the closest in the wide receiver room because it feels like if you just get him going and then let him take, like, boom, boom, and he's gone. I think he can accelerate. Bijan is definitely an acceleration guy.
I don't see Darnell as an accelerator. I see Darnell as a very fast, straight-line speed guy, but I think there's a difference between that kind of short speed burst that you need, like in the red zone, and a straight-line speed guy that can take the top off the defense. I don't necessarily see Darnell as that guy. I think that's why they've tried to utilize Bijan so much in the passing game, because he is kind of that guy.
The Jaguars got Jakobi Meyers from the Raiders. They sent fourth and sixth round selections in the 2026 NFL draft.
Yeah, I mean, he was a guy that was asking for a contract extension, if I'm not mistaken.
I thought he wanted out of there.
He wanted out of there. I'm sorry, not a contract. I meant a trade. That's what I meant to say. Not a contract extension. And they were like, no, you're not leaving. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know what, man? Actually, been looking at the scoreboard and the record here recently. Why don't you go ahead and go? You know, why don't you just go ahead?
They gave
you
the go Dylan
somewhere
wave.
Else. We're good. We're good with Geno Smith and Brock Bowers. You take off and go somewhere else. It is what it is, man. I don't blame them. And if I was in their shoes, I'd probably be doing the same thing. If I was in his shoes, I'd probably be doing the same thing as well.
Jaguars are sneaky too. It's the Colts are 7-2, but they're not running away with the division because Jacksonville, they're two games back, but they've also played less games, already had their bye. They're keeping pace, so to speak. So it they're making moves, and without Travis Hunter, they needed another guy, with Travis Hunter being out indefinitely, probably just three more games. But how much can he come right back and play both sides of the ball? So you needed a guy like this.
Yeah. There's three teams that were really the sellers. We already talked about Rashid Shaheed from the Saints. They also traded Trevor Penning out to, I keep wanting to say
Chargers.
San Diego, but it's not San Diego. It's the Chargers. Yeah. It's the LA Chargers.
Ellie's right. You just got to go Chargers.
You just got to go Chargers.
Say Chargers.
Just Chargers. No, but both their tackles, Joe Alt and Rashawn Slater, I believe it was, who had just signed the big deal. They're both on the IR, season-ending IR. So they feel like they have a good team. Go get Trevor Penning, a little loner, and see what happens with them. So there's really three teams. You go to the Jets, the Raiders, and the Saints. All three of those teams are like, you know what, man? We're good. Thank you for your draft pick. Y'all go play somewhere else.
Guys, coming up, we've got Which One Wednesday on the way. This is going to land me quite an eye roll when I get home today. Which one will Freddie Freeman go into the hall with? The Dodgers or the Braves? That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
10:41 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are The Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan's hanging out behind the glass. And this segment is presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. Before we get to Which One Wednesday, we got a new manager. Walt Weiss spoke to the media yesterday. Lots of Braves players showed up. Jurickson Profar, Spencer Schwellenbach, Drake Baldwin, all to show support. Brian Snicker, Chipper, all there. And Walt said he understands the gravity of this franchise.
Look, I understand the impact of this Braves brand. Played here for 3 years, obviously coached for 8 years. I understand the wide-reaching fan base. The history of this brand and how important it is to a lot of people, and how many people have worked really hard to make this brand really one of the envies of the sports world. When you consider, like I said, our far-reaching fan base goes coast to coast. This venue we play in, the history here, the success, the Hall of Famers, and ultimately the people. It's the standards are really high. The expectations are high, and that's a good thing. It means you're doing something right.
I'm glad he said all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't change exactly how I feel about the situation, about the hire. But I do think that one of the reasons they did have the hire that they had is because he does understand the gravity of the situation and does understand the franchise and everything that comes along with that. Because like he just said, he did play here. Does it still feel very vanilla to me? Absolutely. Is that okay? Sure. We'll see what happens. And, you guys, and I know Bo feels the same way. I have thoughts on the hire until they make it. And then I'm on board and let's ride with it. I'm not going to sit there and nitpick it until he, before he even does anything wrong. So we'll see what happens. But it did just feel like a lot of buildup and a lot of days and a lot of weeks. And then it's like, oh, yeah, just going to promote from within. Man, we're just going to make this move. It's like, okay, man, cool.
Nor am I going to use the first moment or first hiccup that he has here that the team has under him as the moment to say, oh, see, I told you, fire him. He sucks. Never should have hired him in the first place, which has become a thing in not only the sports media, but fans. I think fans have kind of always been that way.
Absolutely.
But the sports media has now taken on that personality. I think it's utterly ridiculous and unprofessional. But that's how it is. I I'm with Mike. Wasn't what I was looking for or hoping. But I didn't get it. They didn't Alex, who has, I think he has my number. I know I have his. Didn't call me and say.
You mean Derek, Squid Nation Derek didn't call you?
They didn't call me. They actually, you know what they did is for some reason when Schiller was going through his phone, he saw the B for Bo and passed it for the C in Chipper.
Okay,
and he talked to a guy like Chipper instead of me and talked to, you know, and I don't understand why he wouldn't talk to me, a sports talk radio host who's been in this city their entire life, been a fan his entire life of the Braves. I don't know why he would pass over me to talk to a guy like Chipper, who has been in this city less time than me, been a part of the organization for less time than me as far as fan, you know, does. I don't know why. I mean, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer, but what does that matter?
You're saying this jokingly because it is funny. But I will just say this. I am glad. I was thinking about this yesterday watching the press conference from J.D. Redick. And I was just sitting there going, I'm so glad that we don't have any situations where we've gone out of our way to hire – people off of ESPN, you know what I mean? Like the Aaron Boones of the world. Like, yeah. Where you're just like, oh, you know, I've been watching that guy on TV for 2 years. I think that guy could probably lead our franchise.
He sounds smart.
He sounds like he's pretty smart. And look, J.J. Redick's doing a phenomenal job right now. You know, they're pretty good. LeBron's not playing. They have found something out there. Aaron Boone's done a nice job. He's done fine, yeah. Even though everybody in that city wants him fired every single day.
Yeah, that's
so
very true.
But I'm just glad that, like, if I had to pick between a guy that's been on ESPN for like 4 years and Walt Weiss, who was just kind of brought up from within, I'd go Walt Weiss every single time. So pick your poison, I guess.
All you can do is if you're truly a fan, is pull for Walt, that he, whatever happened in Colorado, he grew from. And the rumors that he has a really good relationship with Ronald Acuña Jr., hope that helps. Just say one quick thing before we get to Which One Wednesday, if that's where we're about to be headed.
Nope.
Okay. Well, just before you talk next, then, how about that? You know, just because you're in the same building with someone and that's your boss and they do things a certain way doesn't mean that's how you do things. Doesn't mean that's how you want things done. Literally can tell you that from living proof. Because, you know, when Mike Conte took over for the Terry Fox was the old boss, and he does things different than Terry did. And he was under Terry for a long time. I was under Terry, and then who the old APD was too, and I took over that, and I don't do things the same way.
I would argue that almost every employee in America probably sits at their job if they're not the boss and thinks what they would do differently if they were the boss.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
maybe give Walt a chance to let him do things differently. Maybe.
We'll see.
We will get to Which One Wednesday in a moment. We're going there in a second. But I wanted to, because Alex did call our station yesterday. He talked to Dukes and Bell / Mark Zeno yesterday. They got Alex Anthopoulos on the line, and they got exclusive information on Ozzie that we've all been waiting to hear.
Ozzie's a core guy. He's probably one of my favorite Braves as a human being. He's aware of that, too. You know, he's a core guy. And I know he was inconsistent last year, and he got off to a real slow start, him and Harris did. But second half of the year, he was back to himself, July, August, September. You know, again, he set the bar so high because of All-Stars, Silver Sluggers, things like that. So when he scuffles, and look, him and Harris at the All-Star break, I think we're top 10 lowest OPS in the game, which is, those guys are so talented. I would have never thought in a million years they could even be in that conversation, but they both did turn it around the second half of the year. Now the goal and the trick's going to be, how do we get these guys to get it back together for 6 months? And Ozzie's done that for a while, and I talked to him a little bit about it in the off season. I think going through this, like anything, you learn from it. But I'm excited to have him. He's a core guy. He's one of the leaders on this team, and we're really fortunate as an organization to have him be a part of this place.
He's not leaving.
In May of last year, I'd have been like, "What are you thinking, Alex?" But he did have a very good second half. And I don't buy the, well, they were out of it talk and that there was no pressure. You, if you're a professional athlete, there's pressure. There should be pressure if you understand the gravity of what you're doing. Every single time you step on the field, the court, whatever, because you're always playing for your career.
As a reminder, today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations, including that one in Hiram that has Dukes and Bell coming in tomorrow, / Mark Zeno. So let's do that.
Very nice. All right. Which franchise has gotten more coach / manager hate this week? Braves or Falcons?
Not even close.
Falcons.
The Falcons, not even close. Because the Braves have a runway and a track record of success. The Falcons do not. Every fan that talks about Raheem brings up their old scars from old coaches and old situations past and says, I've been a fan of this team for 40 years. Nothing's changed. We bring in the worst coaches, and they don't want to give any of the coaches a runway.
The funniest part about it all is there were some unfounded rumors that some people in the media ran with that were, according to Alex, completely false.
Mm-hmm.
And the best part about it is that people took those rumors and started labeling the Braves and the Falcons as the same now. Oh, see? Oh, yeah, Terry McGurk. Yeah, look, he's really running it. Now he's making the decisions. Sound like the Falcons. And it's like, guys, it's just so ridiculous.
Yeah, I'd no matter what happens with the Braves, I think they would have to have a run of like 15 years of bad decisions before they even approach the hatred that the Falcons coaches have. And it's also the nature of the beast in football. You have one game a week.
Mm-hmm.
You have to simmer on that game for so many days, and it's just, yeah, it's not good.
All right, we're going to get to this heated debate now. Which team will Freddie Freeman go into the hall with, Braves or Dodgers? If you want to weigh in on this, go to Twitter at 929 Morning Shift. We've got a poll up, and you can voice your opinion there. Bo, what say you?
He will go in with no logo. And the reasoning is it's not unprecedented. Catfish Hunter was a guy that did it. Greg Maddux is also a guy.
About.
Yeah, that's the guy that I had seen that did it. Look, just because you win a couple World Series in L.A., is not going to wipe away the nostalgia that Freddie has for the place he grew up and the times he had here. And I can tell you that personally, I think Freddie Freeman takes a ton of pride in being the last time he ever put on a Braves uniform. He took it off with champagne soaking it and Budweiser soaking that jersey because they'd won a World Series title. I think he feel. I don't think there's no doubt he feels like he was the leader. He was the guy on that team. I think it's extremely special to him. So I don't believe he would go in wearing a Dodgers hat or having the Dodgers logo and diss the Braves like that. I think he'll go in blank.
You know, and the interesting part of this is the final call actually is not Freddie's.
No.
Like, the Hall of Fame gets to make the decision. Now, they'll have a lot of input from Freddie, but in the end, they're the ones that get to make the call, and they'll meet with him and kind of figure out which team impacted him. I remember, I don't know if you, did you just bring up Wade Boggs? Wade Boggs was one that
I didn't mention Wade because
he didn't want to go in, I believe, as a Red Sox, but they have a Red Sox hat on him in the Hall of Fame. I think that he wanted to go in as a Devil Ray, and that was one of the things when he went down there. It was part of the decision, I think,
yeah,
for that franchise. I think that he's going to go in as a Brave.
Really?
Now, my question would be, how much longer does he play in L.A.?
That's the question.
Really where, you know, if he plays – 3 more years and ends up with like 7 years in LA and maybe another World Series / maybe one more MVP or something like that. Now we're getting down to a situation where I'm like, dude, you're probably going to have to go with LA. I think as it stands right now though, and the precedent's been set, it's just two teams. One team he's with 12 years, the other one's 4. I think the math is simple. I think he's a Brave in the Hall of Fame. And I think his heart still probably lies here. It's just like a lot of the players that have gone to the Yankees after, you know, being homegrown for 10 years. It just feels like that's what you're supposed to do. But I don't know. I'd be curious to see where his heart lies on that. And I think I think I'm undecided for now.
If it was Freddie, it would be no logo. I 100%. There's no way. Dude, you come back. And I'm not taking – this isn't a shot. I'm just being – this is a real conversation. You literally come back and cry every time you're here.
Yeah.
There's no way you're going to be like, ah, screw the Braves. Give me that Dodgers hat.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm siding with the Braves. Yeah. I think if I was leaning one way, it's the Braves right now.
I just think that he's very – he's kind of one of those – you know, he's a guy that he's very emotional. He's an emotional guy.
Yeah.
I don't think he would want to diss either organization.
Right. Yeah, that's
Let's
fair.
Fast right. Lightning round.
Which Falcon is already packed for Germany, Kirk Cousins or Bijan Robinson?
Kirk Cousins was packed 3 weeks ago. Like, he already packed 3 weeks
ago. Well, that's because Julie does it.
Yeah, well, it's and they probably still all have the Coles tags on him. So he packed 3 weeks ago.
But John might still be packed from when he went to Germany in the offseason.
That's true.
So, I mean.
Christmas decorations are up everywhere. It is only November 5th. Which holiday doesn't get its due? Thanksgiving or Valentine's Day?
Valentine's Day is made up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even get me
started.
Well,
they're all, well, so is Thanksgiving. I mean, you know.
Thanksgiving has a basis in history. Valentine's Day is just somebody being like, you know what, man, let's see if we can sell a bunch of candy. There's kind of a lull in the holidays. Let's throw something in there and see if we can get the market.
I literally just gave my wife a present. Why don't I go give her another one in 2 months?
It's only going to get worse. And then you're adding Mother's Day in there. Yeah, it's
well, and then their birthday.
Anniversary.
Yeah, we don't really do the Valentine's Day like other people do.
You're supposed to want to give gifts. And you gotta.
And Bo, now you got to give Mel something for Valentine's Day. You got to be her Valentine too, at least to start out.
And you got to start buying the cards with little candies in them.
Yeah. I did like look at her yesterday and I was like, yeah, I am going to miss when you're a smart mouth kid running around here. Like, I'm going to miss this moment where you can just look at me.
You're going to miss this.
But, Allie, that was actually a trick question. The holiday that doesn't get his due, St. Patrick's Day.
Really? You think so?
That's his birthday. Don't listen to him.
All right. Dylan, just doesn't get his due. Suckered you into that one.
Dylan, yeah. That was ridiculous.
That's actually the anniversary of our
That's
show.
Not even our holiday.
I'm so sad we didn't get tomorrow. Which one wins this? You got anyone we can tease and hit on the other side?
I got some more.
Yeah, tease one going to break here.
Which Falcon will have more targets in Berlin? Drake or Bijan?
It's actually a good question.
All right, think about it. Coming up, we've also got the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. Do you want to weigh in on the Freddie debate, Dodgers or Braves, when he gets into the hall? Because we all know he's going in. 404-726-0929, and which Falcon will get more targets in Berlin, Drake or Bijan? That is next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.